For the last 3 weeks, we've been talking about power. Just something that kind of was really on me about the reminder of the power that we have. And we'll kind of winding up that little series talking about power this morning. But let's remember where we started. We talked about power in belief, believing the things that we read in the Bible, right? I mean, the great big things that just seem too good to be true or too hard to understand or, you know, these things like that. And so the power in actually believing what we read in the Bible, believing God's word for what it is, a blessing, a promise. And that's one of the things that we need to remember. And that great and wonderful things were done by Jesus, that were done by prophets, that were done by just normal, average, everyday people like you and me in the Bible. And realizing that, yeah, that stuff still applies to us. That still counts to us. Are we going to believe it? Are we going to accept it? Are we going to apply that to our lives? And it's a promise. It's something that every single one of us is going to have to answer someday. We talked about power, being powerful together as well. You know, building up one another, holding on to one another, defending one another, coming alongside. You know, Matthew, if my stuff would work. I don't have a clicker, Evan. Huh? Hey, there we go. Thank you. Matthew 18:20 says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them. You know, it's that reminder of God being very present in the gatherings, in the groups, even the small groups of the two and three. So that we can defend one another, so we can have fellowship. And when we have that fellowship, we're fellowshipping with our God. And then last week out at the pond, we talked about power in solitude as well. This is the power in the group. And then Matthew 6:6 talks about power in the solitude. He says, when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. There is just as much power in the prayer closet as there is in the gathering of the twos, threes, tens, twenties, hundreds, thousands even. Very, very powerful presence in that time of need, that time of prayer. But seeking that solitude, we talked about that last week, is part of just getting us out of the way. Trying to get rid of the distractions of life, the distractions of our schedules, the distractions that just kind of interfere with our one-on-one time with God, with our Lord. And it's not easy. It's hard to do. Even if we are by ourselves, because these things between our ears here run 100 miles an hour sometimes, because that's the way we're wired these days. And calming that takes a lot of time, takes some practice too. And it's a struggle, but there's power in that. Because when we're alone with God in our room and shutting the door and shutting out the rest of the world, we can be the real us. Because God already knows the real you, so if you're trying to be someone else, the only thing you're doing is trying to fake out God, and you can't do that. He already knows who you are, so we can have that openness with Him, that one-on-one dialogue. Even if we can't get the words out, we're still praying with Him. So there's power in just being alone with Him. And remember that God is just as present in the prayer closet as He is in the gathering. Well, this week, we're going to talk about some very specific powers that we have that are granted to us and that are expected for us to use and or do in our daily walk. And to set the stage for this, we're going to go to John 14 and see something that Jesus is talking about. They're still in the upper room. This is the night in the upper room. He had just washed the disciples' feet. He had just basically instituted the Lord's Supper. You know, in washing the feet, He said, what I have done for you, go and do for each other. It was a lesson, another lesson. It's almost like a final exam or a one last cramming session. You know, because the next day, everything changed. And Jesus is almost like Jesus saying, okay, I got you guys for a few more hours. Let's pump you with what I can get into you right now. What I've done for you, go and do for each other and for others. Do likewise. Take this bread to my body. Take this wine, it's my blood. But then what else did he tell them in the upper room right then? Is before this, he says, one of you will betray me. He dropped that bomb on them too. Can you imagine being these disciples and just reeling from all this information? But then he comes out and he says something like this. Jesus said to them, I am the way, the truth. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. And Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. So like I said, picture yourself in this room and Jesus lays this on you. And he says, I am, the Father is in me and I am in the Father. He's been preparing all this. And Jesus says there in verse 7, he says, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also, but from now on you do know him and have seen him. They have seen God because they have seen Jesus, is what he's telling them. And there's this one-on-one connection. So I want you to think about this. Put yourself in their shoes for a second. What's going on here? And then I want you to also think about, how do we believe the best? Believe things the best. Is it when we see stuff or when we hear stuff? See? Why? You can't deny it? Okay. And Jesus is telling them things and he says, you've seen me. You've seen the Father. And then he says, you know what? If that's not enough, believe on account of the works themselves. Believe in the stuff that I've done. Believe in the stuff that you have seen. The healing of the sick. The casting out of the demons and the outright rebuking of the religious officials, or just the authority that he did all this stuff with. So he's like, you know, if you need to see to believe, believe everything you've seen. Believe in me. What does Paul tell us about belief? Is it come? Do we? Faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing the word of God. Jesus is telling them this, and so there's got to be belief in here. It says they've seen God because they've seen Jesus and all he's done and all that he's shown them. But Philip is like, show us the Father. How encouraging would that be? How empowering would that be if we could actually see Jesus face to face, or see God face to face, and something like this? How would that embolden your faith right now if you could see them face to face? We would all be like, yes, finally! Even the most devout believer would be like, yes! But it doesn't work that way. But that's the way Philip was like. He wants that tangible. He wanted that. He's saying what everyone is thinking. Show me. And we'll be so powerful because of that. You can't fault him on this. You can try, but he's just like the rest of us. And I almost think he was thinking, you know, we followed Jesus all this time and now we're going to meet the Father. And true to form, Jesus puts a rebuke in the form of a lesson. That's just the way he does things. He says, don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? He says, believe it. Or believe the works that I've done, which is at least a start. And like I said, which is easier to believe? the things we see or the things we hear. Thomas put it bluntly in John 20. This is after the resurrection. They said, "We've seen Jesus. He's come back, and we've seen him with our own eyes." And Thomas says, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and place my finger in the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. Unless I see, unless I touch, unless it's real, unless it's tangible." What happened next time with Thomas? Did he touch? He saw, though. He had his world turned upside down and he says, my Lord and my God. It got suddenly all too real for him. Jesus gives us what we need to get through that wall. I think most of us, if not all of us, have that tendency, though. Unless I see it with my own two eyes, unless I can touch it, I won't believe. I can't believe. It's too hard to believe. I've been there. I know. It's hard. But even the stuff that we can we be fooled? There's people that make big money trying to fool people into seeing stuff that didn't happen or happened a different way. Faith is believing in something, and there's power in this. And Paul tells us that, and that verse is Romans 10, 17, where faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. So yet another truth that we all have to come to terms with is this, that hearing, the power in there. So are you ready for another? And back to our power message here, okay? Because our power message this morning comes from the next thing that Jesus says from our John 14 scripture. And it was, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father." Not only are you going to do great things, you're going to do greater works than I did. Than Jesus, he says. This is the power that we're going to talk about. We've talked about this a little bit over the last few weeks, kind of intermingled with the other things that we've talked about. But this is what we're going to talk about, is whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works. That's a hard one to chew on. What can we do that's greater than what Jesus has done? He's God. He's the Messiah. He saved all of us from sin. All those that fall on Him and call on Him. He's done all this. Cleansed us. What can we do that even adds up to this? Much less be greater. Notice something here, though. He says, "Whoever believes in me." It doesn't say, "If you believe in me." He says, "Whoever believes in me." It almost thinks of like the part where the guy comes up to Jesus about saving his son. He says, "If you can." And Jesus says, "If? What do you mean, if I can? Don't you know who I am?" This one is like, "Whoever believes in me." It's a powerful statement right there. That's the key factor. And how do we pray so that we know that our prayers will be answered? You believe that what you're praying is already answered when you pray it. Power in that belief, that conviction. We believe that they've already been answered. And when your faith is bold and out there, we'll do much of what Jesus did and more. We've alluded to this already, like I said, in previous weeks, but do you really believe that it's possible? That you can do stuff that Jesus did and greater works than He did? Do you really believe that? You need to. You need to get the doubt out of your head. So we're going to talk about the greater works this morning. Some of them. There's too many to list. We'd be here all day, all week. But what greater works are we talking about? And first and foremost, taking the gospel to the people who desperately need it is one of those powerful works. One of the powers that we have that has been given to us and we've been expected and required to use. Taking the gospel to people who don't know Him or need to know Him better is one of those powers. Well, Jesus did that, right? He walked around. He took the gospel to everybody. But what did He do? Jesus stopped in the area around Judea. It was His disciples and people that took it all over the world. That's a greater work than what He did. That's one of the things He's talking about. He said, look, my scope was here to get you prepared. Here is your scope. It is everywhere. And that's the power of belief. That's the power in being one of His disciples, is being a transmitter of the Word, of the grace and salvation and great things that come to those who call on Him, fall on Him, and believe in Him. Does that make sense? I mean, there's plenty of people out there that may have heard of Him, maybe grew up going to church now and then, but never really knew Him, that need to know Him. So speaking the gospel into someone's life is a really big deal. Somebody told us to do that straight up, and it was Jesus and the Great Commission. We don't call this the Great Suggestion. Matthew 28, 19 and 20, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. There's the power that comes from Him to help us do this. I know they could go, well, Jake, you pull this one out a lot. It's because we need to know it, and we need to apply it. We need to actually believe that this is something that we're supposed to be doing in our everyday lives. Not just special times. The ability to make disciples, teach, preach, speak the gospel into people's lives, what a privilege and honor that is. And yet, so many Christians are so timid in this. It's like, well, that's not where my gift is. Did God give us the spirit of timidity, of being timid? Paul says absolutely not. In 2 Timothy, he says, for God gave us a spirit not of fear, of being timid, by the way, but of power and love and self-control. He gave us a spirit of power to do these things that He's called us to do. He wouldn't go out and ask you to do something without giving you the resources to go and get it done. A friend of mine texted me yesterday, and he's going through a bad spell right now, and he's like, you know, he's really amazed at the way God is working in his life through this bad spell. And he says, he texts me, he says, you know, God won't give me more than I can handle. And I text him back, I said, I don't believe that. I think He'll totally load us up. But He won't give us more than we can get through without calling on the right resources, calling on Him. He'll give us more than we can handle, but with Him we can handle anything. There's a difference in those two things. That power that He gives us to get these things through. So, the reaching out into people's lives is a mandatory thing. It's not an optional thing. And we all have the power to do it because God gave us the spirit of power to walk into people's lives. The Holy Spirit that abides in and dwells in every Christian is the source of that power. And when someone pops into your head for some seemingly unknown reason, maybe it's because the Spirit is saying, hey, you need to do something for this person. Pray for them, if nothing else. Had lunch with a bunch of pastor friends this week, and one says, you know, every once in a while, he's like, when this happens, he shoots him a quick text, say, hey, was just thinking of you and to let you know I'm praying with you. He got one back from one of his guys, said, hey, same thing. He says, you know, you were on my mind today. You know? It doesn't have to be something big. Even those is a connection. Those little moments of walking alongside people. or texting them. And we've all got phones in our hands or in our pockets or something nearby these days, more than most. So we need to engage. Maybe somebody just needs you to be there for them. God sent that spirit of power in our lives to be the resource and that well that we draw from. And He calls us to do some big things, even you. But He doesn't expect us to do it alone. Remember what He says, "And behold, I am with you to the end of the age." I'm not sending you out there on your own, because I'm coming with you. And the Holy Spirit gives us that power to be the hands and feet of Jesus, His very presence right here and now. So the next power that I want to mention comes from our scripture this morning, actually. And it's this verse 11 from John 14. He says, "Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me." This is where we're going to draw from. You know, Jesus says, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." Just by being in my very presence, you've seen Him. Remember, because Philip's like, show me the Father. You've already seen Him. You've seen Him because you've seen me and everything that I've done through Him. I don't have my own authority. The authority I have comes through Him. So believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. And then He goes on to pray for us. This is a prayer that Jesus prayed for you and me. This isn't about His disciples that He was walking with. Because it says right here, "I don't ask only for these," this is from John 17, "but also for those who will believe in me through their word." As they hand it down, and as they hand it down, as they make disciples that make disciples that make disciples, this has been going on for 2,000 some odd years. And it's still going strong. Otherwise, we wouldn't be sitting here. Millions of people wouldn't be sitting in church this morning or be thinking and worshiping this morning if stuff like this didn't happen. And He prayed for those people, and He says, "that they may all be one just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you've given me, I have given to them." He's given us glory through Himself, "that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and you in me, that we may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me." You see all the unity in this passage, but do you also see the reflections in this passage? That they may be one, that we may be one, together, united, but united with Him, united with God, united with Jesus. And also that they may see, Father, that you're in me and I in you. So let me ask you something. If Jesus says, "You've seen the Father because you've seen me," taking that into account, and in our faith walk, is there a certain someone that we're supposed to be getting more and more like all the time? Yes or no? Who are we supposed to be becoming more and more like all the time? Jesus. And if we're supposed to be getting more and more like Jesus, by the way, we were made in God's image, reflecting that image of God, reflecting that image of Jesus, who should people see in our lives when they see us? You have the power to show them Jesus. Just by being you. That's part of one of those very specific powers, is that you can show people the very presence of Jesus. Do you get it? Once again, that's one of those powers that we take for granted or that we don't understand, and we let that fear and that spirit being timid and you know, shy and bashful and all these things get in our way. But if you're just living it and it's part of your life, people are going to see it. We don't have a two-phase life. The one phase where this is my private, God-filled life, and then this is the one where I go to work. Or this is the one I am to everyone else.
Matter of fact, we studied a little bit about that this week in Bible study, I think, where it said, don't even bother praying if your head is like that. I mean, I'm just kind of summarizing what James said. We're going through the book of James right now. Pray like you believe it, because if you don't believe it, then don't even bother praying. Live like you believe it. And that's the power that each and every one of us has, is to show someone the face of Jesus through this, for me, this ugly mug right here. You know? It does great things through all sorts of folks. That is power. That is a power that every single one of us has. Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father." If we've seen Jesus, we've seen the Father, and people are seeing that in us. As we travel our faith journey, we're supposed to be becoming more and more like Him and less like ourselves. As John the Baptist said, he says, "As He increases, I must decrease." We should be seeing more and more of Him in our lives. People should be seeing more Jesus and everything that they're doing. And when they're seeing Jesus, they're seeing God. The greatest power that He's given us is the power to show people God. And what does that look like? He looks like people caring for each other, for others. He looks like someone helping those who can't help themselves. How many times did Jesus talk about widows and orphans? Or other scripture was talking about taking care of widows and orphans, or taking care of those who can't help themselves, or those that need help, the destitute, the people who people won't even go out and touch, the lepers that people would not even come around. But it didn't keep Jesus from reaching out and touching them. People that just need that presence in their lives. That is power. That is sharing God in their lives. Showing them Jesus. Showing them God. Looks like someone who sees brokenness in someone's life and wants to let them know that they don't need to go through whatever it is that they're going through alone. They don't have to do it by themselves. And it also looks like someone that's helping someone fix a flat tire, helping someone carry groceries, opening a door for someone, just smiling at them. You don't know when someone just needs a smile. And if you're too timid to smile, then we need to work on something. He looks like a group of people that care about their little town. And the people in that little town. And that want their town to know they care. And want their town to see God walking the streets with them. That's what this whole thing next week is all about, this prayer walk. Actually, the entire month of October is like a dedicated to harvest. And I'm not just talking about the harvest in the fields. Jesus says the crops are ripe for picking. Those are the harvests that we're looking at. And that's what this prayer walk is all about, is just sharing God's presence, walking through there. People might not even see you doing this. Someone very important will. By spreading His power. Those are the powers that we have to go and do. God did not give you a spirit of fear and timidity. He gave you the power to show His presence in and through your life. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for that reminder of the power that You give us, the actual power to show people You, Your presence, Your face, Your Spirit through our lives, through the way that we interact with people, through just the things we say and do, just the way we live life. Father, I pray that we realize that and turn our sails towards You so that we know that we're walking and showing a true form of Your Spirit. So get us out of the way as we let You shine through and just speak forth. Father, I thank you so much for this time to be able to just reflect on these things. And this month, as we've talked about all these powers that you give us as we read your word, and the power that we gain through reading your word, help us remember that, apply it to our lives, and remember that spirit of power that Paul says each and every one of us has through your blessings and your giving. Father, we ask that you bless all of our endeavors as we try to reach out into this community to just share you with others. Whether it be through this prayer walk, whether it be through you're asking people to come in and playing games with them, or the trick-or-treat, or the Thanksgiving, or the Election Day, whatever we're doing, that those may be to show people your presence and your power in our lives and something that they can have as well. We ask your help in this. We ask your leadership and guidance in this. And we ask your grace. We ask your grace in this too, to help us understand what it is that we're trying to do for your glory, your kingdom, for you. We thank you one more time also for your Son who made this possible, this ability to just speak with you and be in a relationship, an intimate one-on-one relationship with you. We thank you for his sacrifice. We thank you for his love and his care and his example of showing you to others. We love you. We thank you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.